I tried to get a rumor going once when I was in high school. In Gangster's Paradise, there was a guy who featured in that. I don't know the singer's name is, but he does the part, been spending most our lives.
Yeah,
that guy.
Yeah.
That guy. Yeah. He was the father of Sean Kingston.
This sucks.
I'm in a real identity crisis here, Al.
Nothing penetrates within Dawson.
Who do you see in the mirror?
Hey!
Oh, grey, hot.
Hello and welcome to The Incomplete Series, the podcast where we watch the first episode and the very last episode of a TV series and tell you if it's worth watching. My name's Morgan. And joining me to do this is my good friend Jeremy Wiseman. Jerome, how are you?
Yeah, I'm doing well.
Don't say anything about my introduction.
You say just say your name three times now. Is that some sort of tick? Developed tick? My name's Morgan. It's like Tony.
We'll discuss it off air. Just don't talk. We're not talking about it.
I'm doing well.
Excellent. Abe, how are you?
I'm good, Morgs. You made yourself a real easy target there.
Yeah, I know. I realised it straight away.
When Principal Skinner says, "Hello, children. I'm Principal Sinner." Oh, I've lost him forever.
I've lost Jez for the next 90 minutes too.
Yeah, you lost me forever.
You have to keep him on tight leash.
It's a disaster.
You let go.
And even then, even when I introduced you, Abe, I said, "Hey, babe." It was.
I thought that was intentional. Was that not intentional?
No, that was an accident too. I'm dying. I've changed up the start, and we haven't done this for a little while, so I'm a little off balance. But anyway, Scott, welcome to the podcast. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Morgan. I really feel sorry for the listeners at this point because they thought they were going to get an episode about how to get away with murder, and now we're just going to be talking about your linguistic hang-ups for the next hour and a half. So. Sorry, everyone.
It's a disaster. And no, I said, welcome to the podcast, Jez. I just said it quickly. I like the top 10 guy in the NBA highlights.
Yeah, I love that guy.
Exactly.
I love that guy so much.
I hadn't watched it in ages, and Jez pointed this out to me, and I was like, oh, hang on. I went back and watched it, and yeah, every year he gets a little bit faster.
Like,
I would like someone to cut together the progression.
Mm-hmm. I think that video exists on the internet somewhere.
It does?
His progression... saying the NBA top 10 bit faster and faster every time.
Just on the Sacramento Kings, number one on the top 10. LeBron James, number one once again on the NBA.com top 10. And he's number one on the NBA.com top 10. Number one on the NBA.com top 10. Russell Westbrook, number one on the NBA.com top 10.
Is this like in Family Guy where Peter's like, I can say all the 52 states in like...
Pretty much. That's where it's at now.
So I tell you what, that joke has aged very well. I still use it to this day.
Timeless.
You gotta pick your spots completely. With Family Guy references.
Until the South secedes, that joke will be relevant.
Exactly. But this week we're back and we've done. Right in your Q zone here, Jez, because it's law based, but it's law school based.
I'm worried about the amount of legal questions that might get thrown at me.
Yeah,
so I'll do my best. But
I have a lot of notes.
If you
here,
don't like getting asked questions, Jez, you're gonna hate law school.
We gave you a brief with all our questions beforehand. You should be across everything.
I know. I've had 2 days. You sent me the email.
Yeah,
I should know the facts.
Exactly. So we watched How to Get Away with Murder. I have no. experience this show before yesterday when I watched it. I have no experience with this show whatsoever. Did you guys? Did anyone watch this? Scott,
I've never heard of it.
I haven't watched it, but I've heard of it because it crops up on Netflix quite a bit. Like just when you're moving through blah 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 blah, I see this show come up. Maybe Netflix thinks I want to watch it, and I guess they won.
Maybe it thinks you need some help.
I don't know.
Yeah, was this suggested by Netflix to us?
Maybe.
Do they? Is that where their marketing team's at now? Where they email people directly? Super
Yeah,
liberal.
Yeah.
Super. Watch How to Get Away with Murder. Okay. I mean, I remember after watching the Transformers movie, I really wanted to join the Air Force. So something happened when I watched that. So would that be... That's not superliminal. That's subliminal.
Yeah, that's subliminal.
This, I mean, watching this...
Shia LaBeouf just like
shouting at me to join the Air Force after I left the cinema. Hey, join the Air Force. But this show certainly didn't make me want to murder anyone.
But
what about getting away with it?
Well, maybe getting away with it. Now
you don't have to want to do the murder. You just have to want to get away with it.
Yeah.
It seems like there were a lot of murders throughout the
lot
of run
of
the series.
Yeah.
More than... I thought it was going to center around one particular murder, but it looks as though maybe they solved that in the first season and then you got to introduce other murders.
So you reckon change it to how to get away with murders?
Yeah. Oh. How to routinely get away with murders. But it is very... It is cut from the same cloth as Pretty Little Lies.
Big time.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And a bit of Gossip Girl, you know, precocious early 20s people. I mean, these aren't meant to be teenagers, so it's a bit more acceptable. But when they're all fucking wearing suits and drinking Manhattans in fancy bars, no one's doing that at the age of 21. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
You're shotgunning beers and throwing up at the back of your friend's car's window.
Exactly.
Okay? That's what you're doing.
Making your own spirits that are highly unstable and could kill you, send you blind from drinking them. That's university to me.
They're the murders you need to get away with. Yeah.
Exactly.
Accidentally killing
how
your
to get away with bootlegging vodka.
That's more my speed.
That's actually useful.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. None of this is some barely even real.
Yeah. Murdering your own self-esteem by making an absolute dick of yourself.
By introducing your name three times instead of once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not getting away with it, Morgan. You're not getting away with
it. You thought it was gone? No.
Let's try and jam this into as many parts of this podcast as we possibly can. Let's really
first
destroy
degree self-murder.
I'd like to report a murder of the English language. You committed it. And three witnesses. Scott, are we filming this? Are we recording this?
We got it. Yeah.
These mics on?
We finally got it.
Is this a trial by podcast? Judge Abraham Banton presiding?
Mm-hmm.
Are you prosecuting me, Jez? Who's defending? Does that mean Scott's defending me, or am I defending myself? I'm representing myself.
I'll give you a fair defense. True analyst style, you're defending yourself. That's the way
Scott,
you should want it.
I know, Scott kind of just volunteered just then, so I feel like I'm... Maybe...
Nah.
Did you volunteer, Scott?
I retract my services on the grounds of intimidation.
We're going to wear a big suit with two head holes.
Like David Byrne's suit from the tall heads.
Just a huge one, but you just pop another head out of his shoulder.
Excellent.
It's the only way that's the only defense.
What
a defense.
What a legal team.
That's prosecution.
And
he's defending himself.
Oh, sorry.
While we're going with sort of a themed courtroom, Aaron, I'd like you to go dressed as Q from the first episode of Star Trek when he's in the floating judge's chair. I don't know if you guys remember that. Yeah,
floating judge's
chair.
Is the rest of the courtroom typical wooden layout, standard jury box, everything?
I feel like
I'm just in a floating chair.
You're in a floating chair. It's in a big old sort of like Colosseum-like courtroom with just TV characters from all the shows we've watched.
Presiding your classic Colosseum-type courtroom.
Classic. Nothing too fancy. Colosseum.
Yeah. It's in the middle of the MCG.
Wood. Like
packed house
of wood.
MCG.
Yeah. Mm. The wooden Colosseum.
The wooden Colosseum. Yeah. But and I will stand before them and bare my soul as a man.
Mm.
Anyway, should we jump into the pilot episode of How to Get Away with Murder? I feel I keep going to say this wrong. How to Get Away with Murder, but I think it's just How to Get Away with Murder. Or is it a murder?
Look, murder. Just murder.
Okay.
But can we pivot to the acronym of this show? Because I think it's the best part about it.
Oh,
so,
right.
HTGAWM.
Yep.
Hot Gorm.
Hot Gorm.
Hot Gorm.
Hot Gorm.
Yeah, no, I noticed in the chat thread you really kind of... You peppered that in.
I'm pushing it.
You were going... You were firing from the hip with it. Don't
it's
worry.
A
I picked up on that.
I don't want to get into like the admin of this show, but...
Hot Gorm.
It really helps to use the acronyms when... doing all the paperwork and setting up all the project files. So, Hot Gorm it is.
Hot Gorm.
Right. Hot Gorm.
Hot Gorm.
All right.
All right, let's jump into the pilot episode of Hot Gorm.
Hot Gorm kicks off with a group of college students deciding what to do with the body of a person they've just killed. We jump back in time to the start of the semester and they're all entering their first criminal law class, or as hard-ass Professor Annalise Keating likes to call it,
How to Get Away with Murder.
She puts the students through the ringer to decide which five she's going to hire at the end of the semester, which she does by getting their takes on one of her current cases, defending a secretary for the murder of their boss. Through some highly questionable methods, a few standout students help Annalise win the case. Connor, Michaela, Laurel, Asher, and our main man Wes, who also in the episode walks in on the professor boning down with a very muscular detective.
I'm so sorry. The door was open.
Oh, come on.
Flash forward again to the murder from the start of the episode, and we find out that those five students are trying to cover up the murder of Annalisa's husband. And that's our first lesson in how to get away with murder.
There's a lot to talk about.
A heap to unpack.
Is it four or five that get the special spot?
It's five. But it's like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory where they give away another one.
Oh, and you get the immunity idol or something.
And Wes is Charlie.
And Annalise in the Legal Factory.
Ah, exactly. Yeah, Wes is Charlie.
She's got all her little and legal aid Oompa Loompas.
So, budgetary crews. Discuss. That guy was enormous.
Budgetary crews. Yes! Oh,
the jacked cop. He was...
He was so jacked.
So...
Yeah, that man...
He's just well-defined.
He is just pleasuring the shit out of Annalise.
The regular citizens, really? Citizens are not that well built. Budgetary Terry Crews is... He was huge. Like, honestly, it looked like he was made of concrete when he stood up. I thought he was like a golem from Diablo 2.
What sort of... Like, what? What's... How does he get any police work done? He's just doing chin-ups all day.
When you're out there sculpting your guns.
Is his car's got like a chin-up bar... It's like a custom. It's like a van.
It's like a double-decker bus.
The driver's seat is a
chin-up powered car,
and that's how you power it. Yeah. Like the Flintstones car, but with chin-up. Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
He just turns on the sirens. Is like, all right, I gotta go.
It's like one of those old-timey. The rail cart things.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Things. It's really the opposite. Jesus. It's like working a different set of muscles.
I mean, yeah. I'd imagine there'd be a way to reconfigure it, because otherwise he's just going to be doing buys and tries, you know?
Man, after Supernatural, these rail cars are getting a real run in our podcast. We bring them back.
They come back.
Stocks
are going to soar.
They're the perfect comedic vehicle, you know?
Yeah. And we've got that deal that... like our major sponsor is with rail cars, so it's perfect for commuting, listening to TIS on your rail car.
Completely.
Clown cars are out. There's no comedy to be found in clown cars.
No,
out.
And rail car.
Two-man rail car.
Two-man rail car, environmentally friendly.
Exactly.
Exactly, because you know what's not polluting
the
earth?
Gets you jacked.
Yeah.
Gets you jacked.
Budgetary Cruise, he's not polluting
fresh
the earth
air,
by doing his chin-ups.
Feel the breeze in your hair.
Yeah. And look how good a shape that guy is in.
Or on your bald...
Oh, he's superb.
On your bald head, if you're Budgetary Cruise.
Exactly. But, Jez, I was surprised that you brought this up first. I wanted to sort of ask you, and this is the first of many, many, many questions that we're going to fire at you. How, from what we saw of the classroom, you know, the lecture theatre, the way she comes in, the way they all interact, how is that exactly what law school is like?
Is this your experience?
Down to an absolute T? Yeah. Is it exactly like that, as I would have assumed?
It's more... It's actually... The depressing part is it's closer to reality than you would probably think.
Mm.
Wasn't completely inaccurate?
No, like, I mean, it probably depends where you go, but my experience at one particular law school that I was not at for a very long time was there was a lot of douchebags. Yeah, there were a lot of douchebags wearing suits in lecture theatres and that sort of stuff.
Really?
Themselves to stand up in like the first or second class, stand up and like... You know, recite the case from back to front, all that sort of stuff.
The Commonwealth v. Gina Sadowski was a case of attempted murder. The defendant, Miss Sadowski, worked as the second assistant to the victim.
Oh, yeah. God. Oh, I thought it was just a huge wank, but it's real.
Yeah, there's just chodes everywhere.
Dude.
Did you ever shout out, "I object," at the lecturer?
That's all I had. That was my go-to. Whenever I got called upon in class to speak, I just objected.
You ever get a sustained or...
it was often sustained.
What about, did you ever move to strike?
I didn't move. I moved to strike.
That's why you don't go there anymore. Move to strike too many times.
I don't know. I've got no more legal jargon for you.
Okay, I find that was actually...
But yes, it's
surprised.
Yeah, that's the most depressing part of it was I was watching it with Georgia and she was also like, what the hell?
This is exactly what it's like.
Yeah. How did they nail
it? Okay, so that you kind of shot that joke to pieces, which is unfortunate for me. But what about when the whole class goes to meet the defendant of that, the murder defendant.
Or whatever, and they're all stacked in the house, like on top of each other.
That, what about that?
Yeah, no, it's not like that.
Okay, because
it starts and ends with the classroom, the way people act in the classroom is kind of the only thing.
So that was the professor taking 50-odd students to meet her defendant, who is going to trial in 2 days.
Yep.
And you just got 50 kids firing questions at her.
This is kind of like, it's sort of like brute forcing the law, because Annalise is like,
so tomorrow, each of you have 1 minute to present the best defense for this case. See if you can beat my current plan. Mr. Gibbons?
Yes?
You'll go last, in an unenviable position, seeing that no two students will be allowed to present the same idea.
Well, how do you get through like 3 or 4 and then... There are only so many ways to approach these problems.
It all comes down to a simple piece of evidence.
That the doctor claims he ran Mr. Kaufman's blood work too late to find any aspirin in his blood.
A statistical breakdown of the jury pool shows 80% of them come from a low socioeconomic class.
Yes, Gina put the pill on his desk, but did she have the intent to kill?
I guess you get, if you're like the 78th guy, you're just like, why don't we just kill everyone? You know, we hit them all. Why don't we just hit them all with our car? We'll tell them to meet us in this car park, and we'll just get in the car.
Yeah, it's like it seems.
She'd be into it if it's fresh. She likes new ideas.
It seems immoral that she's, or wrong that she's using all these kids for out of the box legal advice, coming at it from 100 different angles. But you're right, Jez. This is one thing I didn't thought about.
It's their second fucking day at school.
They're going to be dog shit suggestions.
Stop using the children, hoping that one of them will be a savant and be able to... And then you'll be able to recruit the best ones straight to your law firm.
But it's actually it's just free labor, really.
Oh, is it 100% what it is?
Absolutely.
She's completely using her students. It's quite egregious.
Mm-hmm. But, being a primary school teacher and getting your kids to like sew scarves or something and then just selling them.
Or arts class is just the sweatshop personal Etsy store.
Exactly. We're going to make these handmade ornaments and they're all going to be identical. And I want you to make
that. You got it all wrong, Jez. If Happy Gilmore has taught us anything, it's you've got to do it at a retirement home and you've got to be the nurse.
It's the same thing.
Handmade quality shit here. And then you get, that's how you do it.
Man, teacher's got it made.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm. Oh, why do you think I live like a king? Because of Ron. She's just making her kids make stuff that we can sell on Etsy. It's great. Mm-hmm.
That TV that you see behind Morgan, that was made by the kids.
Exactly. I can't wait to add another marble wing to my house.
She takes in a fresh off the shelf Sony Bravia and gets a bunch of 14-year-olds to reverse engineer it.
Exactly.
Soup it up.
Yeah, it works.
You get enough of them.
Advantage of being a science teacher. They can do anything. Science teacher.
Yeah. Your year-long science project is to replicate
make a flat screen
LCD TV.
For my husband.
If you were being represented by Annalise in that case, and instead of doing her job, using her own expertise and time to defend you and farmed it out to your students, would you be pretty... You'd be pretty miffed by that.
You'd be annoyed.
That would be grounds for a mistrial.
There's a lot of money.
Maybe?
There's a lot of money
on the line. It doesn't bode well.
No, like, you're potentially about to get put in prison for life and a bunch of fucking, like, second-day law students deciding your fate. Wes sucks. Wes is crap.
Not only, like, they're throwing out their own ideas, but they're also just, like, scattered throughout the town, trying to dig up dirt, like...
Oh, yeah.
Talking to witnesses, like, going into her office and, like, digging up dirt. It is so fraught.
All of this illegal evidence and... straight away.
It turns out the defense lawyer is using her...
Completely butchering it.
Her class from university to dig up dirt and basically completely
it's like anonymous rage,
but
it's like QAnon, it's like 4chan, just like get him. You know,
here's my students, go find it, all the dirt you can, let's completely make this trial completely, like, there's so much wrong with this whole thing. I'm
checking my rage. You said, Scott, it's like what 4chan did to Club Penguin, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Just unleash them.
What a strategy. That's not the strategy your professors have utilized?
I don't know. I haven't listened to a lecture in 3 years.
All right.
All right. Sorry, this is what I was trying to say.
Basically self-taught at this point, so don't don't get me to defend you.
Like Dennis Sinuda,
first of all. Like I said, my go-to defense was to hit all of the witnesses in the car.
You no such thing as a bad idea. The top five students. But no, sorry. What I was trying to say before is, what sort of discount do you think that this defendant would get from... Because I assume she's... Based on what Annalisa's character is meant to be, she's meant to be like the highest priced defense lawyer in the city.
Mm-hmm.
What sort of discount do you get?
I don't think there's a discount. I think it's... She's charging more because she's saying, we've got, you know, 180 lawyers on this case.
Yeah.
And they all charge by the hour. So here's your bill. It's $68 million for 3 days of work.
You'd want to get off.
Because she got off.
As you alluded to, Jez, like a lot of the 180 ideas that they fire out, a lot of them are going to be so out of control, stupid, because you can't present the same thing twice.
But just aren't that many ideas are going around, you know?
No.
Hmm.
It's really not worth digging that deep.
It's not worth spending the time on 2 days before the trial. Oh.
It's wild.
That all said, obviously this is a bit of a silly show. I do kind of like the silliness of it. It's kind of fun, you know?
You do?
Like, it's obviously not realistic or anything, but I'm kind of... It's kind of funny.
Like, the hyper-dramatized... And Viola Davis is obviously a great actress.
Mm-hmm.
Helps.
She's really good.
So, Grace had watched a few episodes of this. That's how I've been exposed to it. I'd never seen any before myself, but when I chucked it on, Grace said, oh, do you mind if I spoil something for you? And I'm thinking, that's fine. I'm going to just skip to the last episode anyway. Mm. But her big spoiler was, that's a wig. Talking about Viola Davis's hair.
Yeah.
I didn't really ruin the whole experience for me.
Yeah.
Really seeing how the sausage was made.
Yeah.
I mean, she did admit to wearing a wig in the final episode. So
I know, it came around.
It did come around. So that's actually probably a pretty big spoiler.
Yeah.
Is it? I don't know. What's that... isn't there a Chris Rock documentary about African American people and hair and weaves and all that sort of stuff?
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
So it's like,
oh, it's a thing.
Yeah,
it's a thing.
I don't know if it's like in the traditional definition of a wig. You know, it's not like she's
wearing a piece.
It's not like a big twist that she's wearing a wig.
Oh my god!
It's just not her natural hair. Yeah,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But yeah, they spoiler, I guess.
There was a really savage line from Viola Davis from Annalise at the end of this episode where she was talking to Wes when he was like having like a crisis of conscience about, you know, she only got off on the case because we did all these immoral things and whatnot. And she's like basically like, you know, get on the train or fuck off or whatever. But the way that she says it to him is like,
you can spend it in a corporate office drafting contracts and hitting on chubby paralegals before finally putting a gun in your mouth. Or you can join my firm and become someone you actually like.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
What? So
essentially saying all but five of her students are going to do that.
Yeah.
I was about to say, everyone that doesn't work for me ends up killing themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the law, baby.
Hitting on paralegals.
Yeah, she's brutal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Poor Wes just cops it a lot. Our boy Wes, his neighbor hates him. He lives in some sort of haunted room with like claw marks on the walls.
Yeah.
What is his wall
made out of? Is it like alabaster, like the cells in Shawshank? He's just going to like slowly scrape his way out of there?
It's talc. It's talc.
Because his neighbor says something about like,
the last guy who lived in your apartment was a law student. I put up with his crazy lab rabbit sex, his nervous breakdown. You can deal with this.
But like, those scratches in the wall, are they a werewolf or like where are we going with this?
I know.
And into the bedhead?
Didn't say it wasn't werewolf sex.
I know, solid wood. And there was a bite mark as well. They're zooming on a bite mark. So I don't know if that's nervous breakdown related or, you know, rabbit sex related, but
I think it's like a Tone Wolf crossover or something.
Yeah, like maybe. Third season, Annalise has to defend a werewolf.
Well, Wes does transform into something by the last episode.
No,
he does.
Not technically a werewolf. We will get to that. We will get to that.
But for some reason, he is Hispanic by the last episode.
Well, no, it's
explained, but We'll get to it.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. It is, yeah. Well, I don't know. It wasn't... It didn't... When you...
Is he dead?
Well, they're all older, Jez. Like, so
I got that.
Yeah, yeah, so... No, she,
so it's not really him. It's...
No, it's not really him. It's like, it's his son, like, that he had with the, whatever that girl's name is.
Oh! The Spanish girl. Wait, no, but then in the end,
you
he's
just
like
went into, like, stasis for 50 years, or...
No.
No, because in the end, he's like my professor. Is what my professor used to call
he
it.
Said my...
And she's
my
sitting
mentor.
In the...
Yeah, my mentor. Well, yeah, because she's still been teaching, and he's just gone to law school where she was teaching. I don't think it was suggesting that it was Wes who's preserved himself perfectly in 50 years in the future.
So his son looks exactly the same as him.
I love the fact that, like, what you've gotten out of that is that he was Hispanic and not the same age. Like, that's your bigger gripe?
Well, I mean,
he's timeless. He's like Dorian Gray. He could go anywhere, pick up a new accent.
I see your confusion.
When did they say that it wasn't him, though? Did they say it anyway?
It's just obvious.
It's implied. Because it's like...
Implied? It's the same actor.
It is.
Okay, fair. But still...
Have someone else play his son. Don't have him play...
Yeah, yeah. That's the big thing. Have someone else play the son.
I know.
If I make a movie about my life at some point, and I play myself, and then also play my son, and we have a scene together, like a two-hander... We're having a conversation. You guys are going to be pretty confused, all right?
Well, it depends. It depends how aged up you are.
Well, like, what kind of accent have you got?
Will Smith, in Pursuit of Happiness, Will Smith doesn't play himself and then also his son. His son plays his son, and they're different people, you know?
Do you know that for sure?
Don't you remember in Home Improvement when Tim Allen played all three of his boys?
It's like the Clumps. he's everyone.
Oh,
it just descends into.
So, I think in your defense, Jez, with how
I have a very good
bizarre
defense.
this choice seems, Alfred Enoch plays Wes in all but one episode,
mm-hmm.
and only plays this Hispanic boy in this final episode.
Something
so it's not like that character was in any other episode.
So how are they
just throw
they
this actor in?
Kidding me? 9.6
at the very end after
IMDb.
Wes has been gone for a season.
All right, we're talking last episode.
Quickly just talk about Wes's thing where he's like up late at night at his apartment and he comes across, he's like found the legal thing that he thinks is going to like bust this case wide open. So he travels to Annalisa's office / house at like
and just walks in
11 p.m. The door's unlocked, so he just walks in. He's like, oh, I got the great idea. And then walks in on some prime cunnilingus.
Yeah.
That's pretty, like, if you're like on what, day 3?
Yeah.
At a new university with like the most terrifying professor you could possibly have. And you're just walking into their house at 11 p.m. at night.
Just barging in.
Bold.
Walking in on some cunnilingus is probably one of the like better things that could happen. I would think.
Yeah.
Like, we're talking about America. Yeah. Like, you just get shot.
Yeah,
like,
shot. Yeah.
Yeah.
This could be a real problem.
Yeah. Could be analingus. Like, you don't know what you're walking into.
Could be anything.
Yeah.
They could be doing
Terry Crews could have been in some sort of sex swing, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Some chin up powered sex swing.
Imagine he's just lucky all the avenues the show could have gone down with all those different options.
It
could have been how to get away with
cunnilingus.
And then subsequently murdering your student when he walks in on you.
Yeah.
That was the
very long title.
That's the what's the acronym there?
Hot gore.
You can just say it really quick, like
let's do that.
You guys seen the new episode of
I'm sorry, can you slow that down? No,
I only got one speed.
Can only say it really fast and that's it.
Forever.
Alright, are we ready to push ahead into the fucking bananas finale? Because I got some stuff to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Let's do it.
First off, in the finale of Hot Gorm, we get a glimpse at an assassination attempt that has obscured the target, but it seems like it's Annalise as they keep flashing forward to her funeral. Flashback, and Annalise is on trial for the murder of... Honestly, we're not sure who, but I'm sure it's not important. She delivers an impassioned closing argument that conveniently covers the last few seasons of character progression, and lo and behold, the jury find her innocent.
Am I a bad person? Well, the mask is off, so I'm gonna say yes. But am I the mastermind criminal who pulled off a series of violent murders? Hell no.
All the while, there appears to be some kind of conspiracy between the governor and the FBI that culminates in the governor being assassinated, along with a few other main characters attempting their Emmy Award-worthy death scenes.
Buddy, no! Stay with me! Stay with me!
Annalise, however, gets a montage of achievements and passes away at a ripe old age, wrapping up Hot Gorm once and for all.
We already sort of touched on it, but I feel like we need to put a pin in the whole Wes situation.
It's Wes. So I'm sorry. If you get the same actor as Wes, the guy, and it's
playing
Wes.
His Hispanic son.
Who's the... Oh, so the woman with the handsome woman with the aggressive brow is the mother of...
What is that description?
Do you expect us to get it from that, or...?
Yeah, the handsome brunette woman with the strong brow.
Laura? Is that her name?
I think so.
Laura.
So her and Wes must have had a baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that baby looks exactly like Wes, but he speaks
Spanish.
That
way baby is Wes.
You know how... Yes. Jess, do you even know how babies work?
Is she even...
They look like... They
Mexican?
Look just like you.
Is she South
No, but
American
she's she's speaking Spanish to the baby... Sort
but then
of
why
in
is,
that last
but
episode.
She doesn't have an accent. Why does the baby have a full-on accent then?
I'm Professor Christopher Castillo. This is Criminal Law 100.
They might have moved back to South America.
I mean, there are a lot of options, but it's weird that they put it this way. That this is the only episode this character is in, and they went in this direction. It just draws your attention way too much. Way more than it should.
Mm-hmm. Oh, completely. Mm-hmm.
It's a stupid choice.
It's not that hard to find an actor who looks like another actor.
Just get another actor. I know. That's what they do in literally every other...
I think they're just trying to be too clever.
TV show or movie. You know? Yeah. They have a separate actor play the son of the main character. They
Completely.
Always do it.
The only
it's
reason
a
they probably
technique did... as old as time.
The only reason they did it probably this way is because I think Alfred Enoch had been out of the show for a season or two. And so this was a way to illustrate...
Really get him back in.
Yeah, yeah.
Bit of like, a reunion sort of thing.
Yeah. I'm not defending it. I'm not, and
you
don't,
are. That's
don't,
exactly
I can
what you're
see,
doing.
I can see you shaking in on the camera with rage at what I'm saying.
It is actually kind of confusing because he doesn't turn up at Annalise's funeral like 40 years into the future, does he? As himself.
No, so is Wes dead? I assume Wes is dead.
Yeah, well, I feel like Wes is gone.
Oh, yeah.
We're gone, Wes.
So maybe...
So either way, it
I
makes
reckon
no
they
sense.
Kill, they must have killed Wes off and then bring him back.
Isn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, maybe Laurel got pregnant with Wes.
Is he not
and then
in
Wes
this episode?
Died.
No.
Nah. No.
But
no.
he is. But I mean, it's not him.
It's just his little baby boy.
Yeah. Also, the guy that got
who
shanked.
Is just him.
The guy who got shanked in prison is the father, I think. He's the father of the Hispanic girl with the strong brow you were referring to, Jez.
The
I
handsome think woman.
The handsome woman. I think they're all related. And then she has Wes's baby, which looks identical to Wes.
Yeah, despite the fact that
now that I've added that now that I've added that layer, does it make more sense? I'm going to say yes.
Far out, and then some of the aging up they do for Annalise's funeral just was a straight head spin. It was really hard to work out that the woman speaking was the woman that was chatting to Annalise. You know, a mere few scenes prior.
Oh,
and they just it's like they just got a big bag of flour and just lined them all up like that scene in Shawshank Redemption
and just
pelted
de-lousing
out of
them.
Yeah, just de-louse them. Mm-hmm. And then they all CGI some wrinkles in and then it's so chalky. That's it. That's all they did. It's fresh fishdom.
I love the idea of like backstage in makeup. It's not them.
It's a bunch of prison guards.
Their face. It's just hurling this searing white powder at them. Turn around.
If it does the job, you know.
Does a job.
Yeah. Removes louse from your hair follicles.
Can anyone tell me how many character breakdowns we had in this? Like characters just breaking down in tears. Because I
there
feel
few,
like,
and it was
every
it
character
was, dialed up a notch because they kept cutting to and from the shooting.
Yeah, every character had a breakdown of some description.
You're led to believe that it was Annalise that got shot.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
it turns out it was Frank.
Frank
is that
and
governor?
Bonnie.
Is she,
No, so Frank guns down the governor, and then Bonnie gets killed.
And then Frank gets shot. Frank gets shot, Bonnie's cradling.
Yeah, but Frank, then Bonnie's shot.
Wouldn't the police be all over him?
Yeah, exactly. I thought this, because like he's a shooter, right? He's just a random dude who's just come in, killed the governor.
Yeah.
Presumably somewhere off screen, conveniently. But not even conveniently, it's just confusing. Frank's been shot by the police, and then they just leave him there for this whole dramatic scene to play out. Like, he's still alive. Like, surely you want to take him into custody.
Presumably still nobody holding else a is, gun.
No, yeah. All the gunfire's done. Like, they're...
Yeah,
and they just let him pass away peacefully in his
give him a final scene, you know.
Yeah, and then
speaking of passing away peacefully or not, Annalise comes up and just shakes the last drop of life out of him.
Oh man!
I need you. No, you stay with me. You stay with me.
Wow. You think it's going to be like, put pressure on the wound, CPR?
No, like you just said, Scott. She's a lawyer. Like you just said.
She doesn't know how to...
Everyone was having a red hot crack at an Emmy in this episode. They're like, this is my last chance on this show. Viola Davis cranks it up to fucking 17, at least. Yeah. That scene when she's practicing her closing statements, and she's getting walking around with more... Aggressive, walking around speaking into the handheld tape recorder thing.
Violence lives inside of you, and the only way you know how to stay out of jail is to make up lies about me. Someone who loved you, who fought for you. But you don't deserve it, do you? Because you're just like Sam and Solomon, Matt, Clyde. You know better than any of them.
And then it worked because she did. Viola Davis did win an Emmy for this at some point.
Yeah, she did.
I'm sure she did. Yeah,
but it shouldn't be for the last episode because she goes EGOT? Way too hard. Yeah,
she's probably going to EGOT.
Chance.
Can we? I want to go back to her courtroom monologue is wild when she's just like the closing statement when she's talking about
not a very good defense.
I'm a survivor. I'm strong. Yeah. I'm bisexual. It's like this doesn't feel relevant to this case.
I'm ambitious, black. Bisexual.
Very relevant to the show.
Absolutely.
Maybe not to the case. Tell the jury why you didn't commit the murder.
Yeah, exactly. Because in my mind, I'm like,
you know, here's my alibi or whatever.
Yeah. Don't talk to me about like the last 20 years of your life. We just kind of need to know specifically, did you kill this person or did you not?
I don't care if you grew up in Memphis. It's irrelevant to the situation at hand, you know?
Yeah. I think at one point she even mentions the week during the monologue as well. Mm-hmm. But it's so intense, the whole thing. And to be fair, everyone, like you said, everyone's going for it the entire time, and every character has a breakdown. Every character cries. The one that really got me after, because it was after the whole court scene, after all that, was just when Viola Davis is sitting down with I think Tegan's the character. She had like the real tight bun, like massive bun on top of her head.
Yeah.
And then she just, the one that got me, but I was like, oh my fucking god, this show is just out of control, was when she just goes, Annalise, I love you. Like, I've been in love with you the whole time. It's like, come on.
I think I'm in love with you, Annalise. I've tried to fight it, but I'm taking my mask off too.
Yeah, it's like, well, but what do you really want?
Yeah, and then out of control.
And then the montage, the Annalise funeral montage of just. The rapid shifts to aging her up to like 90 and then aging her down to like 20. It's just like the Scorsese technology got a run for its money in this episode. Yeah. They had to de-louse them and then hose them off from that.
Hose them down, yeah.
It was absurd. Like that shot of her on the beach is so unnecessarily green screen.
Is she
like,
in heaven?
Just go to the beach. Just go to the beach and shoot it. And just blow it out. I don't give a shit. Why? Yeah. Like, the tracking's so bad as they come around, and it's just, it is the most bizarre shot.
And the white light sort of getting brighter and brighter behind her. It's just cheesy as fuck, which, you know, that'll dock better ways point to do 4 that. Of a star. All right, sorry, I keep going back to this, but 9.6 out of 10, is that the highest rated episode of TV ever?
It's the highest. I think it's the highest thing we've watched.
It's astounding.
9.6 out of 10.
I do not know what was happening with this at all. At any point, I had no clue as to what was happening at all.
There wouldn't be many. Like, I reckon the best episode of like The Sopranos or something would probably be a 9.7.
Must have. I think the show must have some very, very fierce loyal fans. Because you don't. Mm-hmm. And it, like, in terms of finales, it ties up every loose end. You got to hand it to it.
Oh my god!
It kills people.
It's nuts.
No,
it introduces Hispanic Wes for no reason.
That's five minutes right there.
I feel like we nailed it. So many ends up. It's nothing but loose ends.
It's crazy. And like, to jam all this into the 55-minute runtime, like the scene with what's his name, Connor and his husband. God, what's his name?
Yeah,
Oliver.
Oliver, the IT guy from the first episode.
Yeah, it took me a second. Oh my god, they've kept this character. Yeah. Holy shit!
Yeah. I know. I thought he was definitely a throwaway character.
But yeah, that's what I thought. The scene. Yeah, the scene with those two where Connor's like, he's going to go to jail, and he's like, you know, he's brought in the divorce papers. He's like, divorce me.
Look at me, and tell me that you don't love me. Say it.
I don't love you.
It's supposed to be this like really emotional scene and they're like both getting real, but it is so quickly cut. Like that looked like about a 10 minute scene that they jammed into about probably like 80 seconds. Like no time whatsoever. They were just...
Yeah, there's some real firing back and forth.
Like it's so quick.
Like yeah, we got more melodramatic breakdowns to get through. You got two minutes tops.
We got to hit our quota. Yeah, we need
the five minute montage of Annalise's life mm-hmm. at some point, as well as the montage at the start of like police running through corridors for no reason. Cut that out, you know? What's that adding?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There's gunshots and then they have like a minute of people running around and reacting to gunshots. And then they go back to that four times in the episode.
Wasted potential.
This last episode is wild. It's just...
How is this the highest rated episode of TV we've ever watched?
Yeah.
It doesn't...
We get lost IMDb, in the format sometimes, but like this one, honestly, my brain could not handle how many characters there were, how much there was going on. Like no. The ending of like the 4400 was easier than this.
It's not even... It's the characters, Scott, but it's the characters, some of whom have been aged up for some portion, some are aged down.
Yeah.
Like, it just...
I think the flash forward stuff is an integral part of this show, clearly.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And they've presented it in this way where they're obscuring one of the major plot points, saving that for the end. You think Annalise has died, so there's this... Just the way they've structured it is
and then the double kind of twist of she has died, but she died an old lady.
Mm-hmm.
Triple twist, it's not Wes.
Yeah.
It's his baby boy.
Quadruple twist, it is just Wes. He's been living in Mexico, and he just...
Living in a hyperbaric chamber, just preserving himself.
The land that I forgot.
And he accidentally left his Duolingo on Spanish while he's in the hyperbaric chamber. And he's just rewired his brain so that he can only speak Spanish.
Oh, man.
I got a moral question for you. In Annalise's closing statement, she kind of admits to all of these different crimes that she's committed, like as a lawyer.
I've coerced witnesses, got clients to lie on the stand, manipulated jurors like you. But those are not the crimes I'm being tried for.
Is that something that you could get disbarred for, do you think? In your defense, kind of admitting that you have like doctored all of these trials? Just like, at least I haven't killed anyone. It's like, yeah, but you've kind of gotten a lot of people off for murders in really like dodgy and illegal ways. This is not good for you.
Raise a lot of questions and probably shoot your credibility in this case.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, does she work again after this? I don't. Are we led to believe that
she looks like she becomes like a justice or something after.
Yeah, not as a practicing lawyer. I couldn't imagine. I don't think you probably wouldn't want to hire her. I mean, she defended herself and mm-hmm. got off. But I mean, and I guess it is sort of implied that the state were like trying to bribe people, or there was something.
The FBI had the whole thing going on.
There was something shady going on, but I couldn't follow that because I didn't really. Probably would have helped if we watched the rest of the show, like all the episodes prior, but...
I got time for that.
This isn't our fault.
It should be clear enough from 1 to 90.
We know what we're about, right?
Exactly.
I'm about to sit down and watch, you know, 90 episodes of TV.
No.
Mm. Who do I think I am, you know?
TV writers know nothing about the format of our show.
Exactly.
And they don't know how to do it.
But the good ones can write a show that makes sense from the first to the very last. And if we can make sense of it, then we know it's good.
Like everybody loves Raymond.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Mm. So the egregious use of flash forwards / flashbacks. Do you think there was a single episode where they didn't use that as a crutch?
Maybe there was an episode where it was entirely a flash forward.
So does that probably doesn't count then, does it? That's just...
surely you couldn't be...
Yeah, it's all about... You have to have the transition.
Yeah, it's the transition from different periods of time.
Not every episode could have flash... Surely, not every episode could have flash forwards and flashbacks in it. Because not every episode would be like the... I assume they couldn't all be like the ones we've seen, where you're showing events... Because you wouldn't... In the first one, when they're showing them, like, them covering up the murder, you wouldn't necessarily need to see any more of that, because we saw them dispose of the body.
We, so yeah, like, it came to a conclusion of sorts.
Yeah, what more could you jam in?
So, 85 out of 90...
episodes would have flash forwards.
I reckon it
had time jumps.
Yeah, yeah, probably.
Probably more time jumps than Lost.
So, is this like... Do you put this... in the same sort of category of television as like Quantum Leap?
Yeah, I was just thinking that.
Like a time travel based... Is it really at its core just a time travel based show?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is this just like... If someone's really into Back to the Future, you'd be like, I've got a TV show for you. You love it. It's basically the same thing.
Is that your reboot, Jez? When to Get Away with Murder?
Ooh.
Ooh. That's bad.
That's good.
That could be a collective reboot.
I think it is a collective reboot. When to Get Away with Murder.
Mm-hmm. Time traveling, language jumping, Wes, just you know,
it makes far more sense, doesn't it?
Getting Lee Harvey Oswald or whatever off back in, was he the guy that killed?
I don't think he really got off.
I don't know.
He kind of got assassinated.
He goes back in time, gets him off.
Right, stops him from getting murdered, and then gets him off.
So is it reboot time?
I think it's time to move to reboots. I don't think I can talk about it this show in its pure format anymore.
I had a half-baked one, which is kind of... I don't know, I've been lazy with the reboots, I'll be honest. I'm letting the listeners down, but...
letting yourself down.
It was going to be sort of a TV show, a spin-off from this, centered around the mid to late 90s AFL, and particularly the Melbourne and Hawthorn football clubs. And an alternate timeline where they merge, and it was going to be called How to Get Away with Merger. But I'm like, that's a bit too... It's too niche. So I kind of just doing that for Morgan.
That's pretty niche.
Hey, yeah. you've got my attention. Don't worry about that.
So I don't know who the central character would be. I guess whoever the president of those clubs was at the time.
Joseph Gutnick and Jeff Kennett. They're the only two presidents I know. They're the most famous ones.
I don't know if Jeff was the... I think he might have actually been the premier.
I think he was the premier at the time.
Doing a merger of the state and the Melbourne Football Club.
But it
could
be, you know, maybe we could set it in an alternate history where it's, you know, say, like...
Now?
The Brisbane Bears and the Fitzroy Lions going through a merger or something like that.
That's still too raw for me, Jez. I don't think I can talk about that.
You thought Viola Davis was dialed up to 17. You should see Morgan talking about that merger.
Oh, wow, yeah. I really bring it home.
It's
mostly
12 daytime Emmys for that.
I did.
You've seen the fruits of the merge.
No, it's true. But on that monologue I've got about that merger, Aaron, I mentioned my sexuality a lot in it. It's about 80% about my sexuality.
Strong, straight, white male.
I was about to say, one thing people want to hear about is the experiences of straight white men.
Oh yeah, and don't worry, it's
getting very emotional.
I lay it all out
clubs.
To bear.
I'm a heterosexual man, and this has greatly affected me. My heterosexuality.
It's pretty powerful. It's a pretty powerful performance. But you guys
also
might see it one day.
Also, Aaron, all of this on Morgan's head? Wig.
Piece.
It's a piece.
Very
piece.
Delicate piece, yeah. Yeah,
yeah. He went bald in year 9. I was there.
It's rough. It's a tough beat. So the
anyway,
shards is just...
How to Get Away with Merger.
How to Get Away with Merger? Great.
Yeah,
I love it.
Sucks.
It's pretty ordinary. Mine's also pretty ordinary. So, Jez, I've also dropped the ball here. I just wanted to take a shot at you. It's a class. So it's a class I'll be running because at, I don't know, one of the Australian universities, let's say Monash, because I went there.
Alright, yeah,
and
that's
it's
it.
A,
it's
yeah,
not a competition.
Yeah. how do you like that? And basically, it's about... So it's the same format, but basically, it's in commerce. It's about how to get away with tax evasion. So, I just teach people the ins and outs of...
You teach them?
Yeah, me personally, because I'm a great tax evader. Yeah, maybe I'll get someone who actually is more experienced in this line of work.
Someone who did finance at uni?
Yeah, probably. That's probably a safer bet. I didn't really do any commerce subjects. So, let's maybe go with someone who has a bit of a finance background and how to get away with tax evasion. And basically, they teach you how to get away with tax evasion. And then it's basically the exact same format as what Annalise would run, but it's about evading tax.
Give me a lead. Give me who's the Annalise?
Bernie Madoff.
Okay.
Oh.
Or no.
Did he get away with it?
No.
I think it was because he mentioned his sexuality too much in his closing defense.
Wesley Snipes. Wesley Snipes or... Or Nicolas Cage, one of the two. Or both. They're team teaching.
In a two-headed suit.
and they have twin boys who are played by Nicolas Cage and Wesley Snipes as well,
respectively. Yes,
they gotta play him.
There
it's
you
a
go.
Flaw. It's
Hispanic.
It's the only way to do it.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, all
yeah.
All children are Hispanic.
Inexplicably, only speaks Spanish.
Yeah. I would attend the shit out of that class now that we've managed to build that. Tell me you wouldn't take that as an elective.
You would give it a go. You would go out of your way to seek financial tips from Bernie Madoff?
No. Wesley Snipes and Nicolas Cage.
Interesting. Yeah, yeah. Your first choice was Madoff.
Yeah, fair. That's fair. I did say that. Anyway,
I'm gonna jump in now because I have a very, very similar reboot, which it is also just another class because I didn't really like how elitist all this was. You know, you got your Ivy League schools and stuff, so I wanted to see a more down to earth version of this. With instead of Annalise, it's agency director Travis Wayans, who is presenting his course, Certificate 4 in Property Services Real Estate, or as he prefers to call it, How to Get Away with Listing the Asking Price of a Property $200,000 Below Market Value and Selling It to a Secret Bidder. And yeah, because I think there's a lot of overlap between the legal profession and the real estate profession, probably mostly a lot of cunnilingus going on in the offices. Yeah. So why not? You know, maybe the cocaine's a little worse quality, but that's fine.
Mm. I've seen $1 million listings. I would argue that maybe it's the other way around. The cocaine is of high quality.
Oh, you think it's better?
Up echelon of real estate.
Mm.
Perhaps.
Well, I'm no expert, but
neither.
The cunnilingus is probably worse, I would have a guess.
Yeah, I don't think real estate agents are as giving.
No,
no,
yeah.
they're not giving.
They're
more,
take.
Selfish lovers.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If they could practice self cunnilingus, it would be
much. That would be there. That is a dream. That's what they're all striving for.
Exactly.
They say that they're trying to sell houses, but deep down,
no, they just want to get ribs removed so they can get closer.
Flexible enough to.
How much is the getting the rib removed to perform self-fellatio just made its way, really solidified itself?
I know,
in
it's common
our
vernacular. The rumor that was started about Marilyn Manson.
Yeah, it's
like
not
ago.
Even true.
I just don't feel like that would help you out at all.
No,
we're all thinking it.
I feel like it's more of a spine issue than anything.
Why
else.
Is it such a? I think it's like one thing that if you had to think of one thing that everyone in the world knows.
Mm-hmm.
That might be the one nugget of information.
That universal human truth.
That's the one nugget of information.
That is the one universal human truth. If you mention Marilyn Manson to anyone, they'll be like, oh yeah, the rib guy.
Yeah.
Mm. Maybe I should walk around my street and ask people that. Hopefully I don't get maced.
Imagine if you were the person who came up with that. Like who made up that rumor?
You feel pretty good,
yeah.
Those royalty checks must be massive.
It's like butterfly effect sort of shit, you know.
I tried to get a rumor going once when I was in high school. That do you guys remember that singer Sean Kingston?
Yeah.
This is a really shit rumor, but I tried to get this going that Sean Kingston's actually the son of the guy in he was like in Coolio's song.
Classic
Gangsters.
Morgan.
Just wait till I finish, and it's probably not that funny, but I've started now. In Gangster's Paradise, there was a guy who featured in that. I don't know the singer's name is, but he does the part. Been spending most our lives.
Yeah,
that guy.
Yeah.
That guy.
Yeah.
He was the father of Sean Kingston. I tried to get that rumor going.
This sucks.
What a name rumor. Like, who even cares?
It's pretty ordinary, isn't it?
You are so far away from the epicenter of, you know, hip hop and rap culture.
Yeah, I know. I just want to see, but it was more for no other reason, just to see if I could get it going, and I would hear it come back.
Jez, a butterfly flaps its wings on the other side of the globe.
Who's talking about this? No one hears that bit of information and passes it on.
You
it's like
don't
the
know that.
Least effective virus in the world.
Well, hey, I made
it. It has got zero reproduction.
I took a shot at something, okay?
if he had been saying that Sean Kingston removed a couple of
thank you
to be able to suck his own dick, then
we'd be in a different world. We'd be in a different world.
Well, that rumor was yeah. already taken. Okay, I was just trying something new.
Still be alive, you know.
Yeah, I was trying something new. I tried to get creative.
I don't know if you guys remember one of our rumors from early on in this pod's run.
Yes,
but we tried to get the rumor going that Andy Samberg and Jennifer Love Hewitt were brother and sister.
We did too.
Such a believable. That's so believable.
I know, but it has not gotten legs at all. I don't.
I'm gonna start pushing back off. Yeah. I'm gonna push it again. I'm gonna start pushing it. Mm. I'm just gonna mention it. If we all mention it to three people this week,
okay,
yeah.
And I think you can't just mention it on its own. I think maybe this is, I don't know if this is how you did it, Morgan, but like this is maybe where you fell down. But you can't just present it as an isolated piece of information. You have to sort of bury it as a like a given in another sentence. So when you're just saying something about Andy Samberg, just say like, oh, you know, Jennifer Love Hewitt's brother Andy Samberg. Well, he's got this new he's got this new movie out. And people don't even have time. People don't even have time to jump on it. This is like, it's just sort of, it's gone like a lay down.
People wouldn't know who Andy Samberg was without that sort of pretext, is what you're saying.
Yeah. Mm. And it is such established knowledge that they can't question it. Otherwise, they'll look like the idiot.
Yeah. Do it in big groups as well.
Morgan was like,
what's that guy? The Coolio. You don't even know his name.
I know I attempted this, and I know in my mind,
what's that
like,
song that Coolio guy's son sings?
Oh yeah, Sean, yeah, Beautiful Girls, like that. Sean Kingston,
Beautiful Girls.
The guy that featured in Coolio's song "Gangsta's Paradise," it's Coolio's dad.
Sean Kingston's dad. What was that song that he featured in from the '90s? Yeah.
Gangsta's Paradise.
The Weird Al parody.
Yeah. Anyway, it was
starting a worldwide conspiracy. That's what this is.
Hey, well, look,
no one, and it doesn't even negatively affect anyone.
No one. There's no losers here. This is good.
Is that what makes it so believable? Is that you don't have
I tried to push it out there to see if it would come back, and it never came back.
I reckon,
full circle.
Like, what do you have to gain out of this? Nothing.
Well, nothing. I just wanted to see if it was going to get back to me.
Sean Kingston loses a little bit because it kind of implies that his position in the music industry is. Only exists through nepotism and not it's not an earned position, you know.
Well, I don't think Sean Kingston's doing so
it's like,
doing much these days, so you know, maybe I'm all right here.
I've spent a lot of time talking about Will Smith. Well, not a lot, but you know, second time
you mentioned him a couple of times. So
Willow Smith, would she have been a successful artist in her own right musically if it were not for her famous parents? Probably not. So you're kind of painting Sean Kingston with that brush. Even though you don't know the name of
his dad. Well, that's the thing. You know,
Coolio's man.
Not exactly. It's not like he was particularly famous. So, you know, I think it's a fun fact, is what it was. That was not real.
We've gone too far in the wrong direction here.
Yeah, we have.
Did you know that the guy who featured in Gangster's Paradise, his name is Larry Sanders?
The basketball player?
No.
Just a different guy?
Just a different guy. And you know the Larry Sanders Show?
Yeah, the one with Gary Shandling.
Yeah, yeah. Now another guy. A third Larry Sanders.
There's another Larry Sanders that's not a former starting center for Milwaukee or he wasn't a fake character made by Gary Shandling.
Neither of those. A third guy.
Wait, is the Larry Sanders Show like a fake talk show?
Yeah.
I thought there was a talk show that was called Larry Sanders.
No. It's Larry Sanders is a fake character played by Gary Shandling.
You're thinking of Sean Kingston's dad.
Mm.
Okay.
You're getting,
what is or isn't... rumor anymore. I'm just, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. See, the way that, see, like, none of us are questioning Aaron about the little factoid that he just brought up. But
exactly.
It was very believable.
Mm. Yeah, I made it up, but you guys bought it.
Yeah. See, you wouldn't have been able to do that without the groundwork I laid in 16
yeah,
years ago.
I'm standing on the shoulders of giants, Morgs.
Exactly. I was an innovator.
Anyway, so what was your show again, Scott?
My show was How to Get Away with Listing the Asking Price of a Property $200,000 Below Market Value. And selling it to a secret bidder.
Give me a catchy acronym and you got a hit.
What's the acronym for that?
Hot.
I wouldn't watch that, Scott, because it cuts too true.
Yeah. You say you would or you would?
Someone trying to purchase a house at the moment. That is real crushing truth that I am living.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Anyway, should we move ahead to the IMDb list?
Yes. Let's do it. This episode, the list is called My Sweet Summer Child. In brackets, sometimes my winter child. Oh. Now, okay. I don't know where you guys think this is going.
No idea.
First off the list, Kit Harington, the quintessential summer slash winter child.
Mm.
Mm. Does that give you some kind of idea?
Yeah, so it's a Game of Thrones themed list.
Yeah. So the next person is Dylan O'Brien, who is the best friend in Teen Wolf, and the comment is good eyebrows.
What? Hang on, is he a summer child or a winter child?
Good eyebrows.
Oh, okay. Is that more
then
of a...
Then we've got another actor, Dane DeHaan, who is my sickly boy.
What? Are these performing some sort of fulfilling some roles or something?
Ryan Reynolds, Mexican, question mark?
Well, if Wes is Mexican, then...
Hang on.
This doesn't make any... I don't understand. Like, how do you...
So that would make him a summer child, right?
We'll bring it back. We got Charles Dance, father to the sweet children.
Summer child, right?
Summer child?
No, he's not the child at all.
He's a summer father. Ooh, he's someone's
he's
child.
He's a sweet father.
Okay.
And then we'll jump down to Nicholas Holt, Spindle Boy.
Yeah, no, I see that.
What are these descriptions?
So, winter child, right?
Spindle Boy is winter child?
I would say.
Is this written by, like, the main villain from season one of True Detective? Like, what's going on?
Is this written
David
by...
David Duchovny, I believe.
Is this written by AI? Is this, like...
This sounds like a deepfake list.
Yeah.
Rami Malek, eyeballs for days.
I mean...
But that's true.
Yeah.
Can't argue with that.
But this is almost like a poem.
Do we need to guess which side of the child list they're on?
Is there a key down the side that indicates if you've got big eyes, you're in this category? I don't think there are categories.
There's two
categories.
Eyeballs for days, summer or winter. You guys decide.
He must be winter because if he was, he's not adapted to summer because he'd have to squint too much and it's hiding a lot of his best asset.
Yeah.
So I would go winter.
Yeah.
Malik. Are you going to.
All right.
Is this a quiz? Are we doing well?
you guys can score yourself.
Okay. All right.
Ewan Rian, is that how you say his name? What's his name? He's from Game of Thrones and Misfit.
Is it Ewan? I-W-A-N?
Ewan?
Is he the sausage guy?
Yeah.
He's the sausage guy from Game of Thrones, who is handsome shark.
He's sharkish.
Yeah, summer shark?
I guess.
Sharks like colder water, don't they?
Yeah.
I don't know.
They like summer swimmers.
Yeah, Jaws. That's true. He was good in that.
All right.
This is like doing a cryptic crossword or something.
Yeah, I know.
All right, see if you can make sense of these three. I'll go three in a row. Sean Bean, Nicolas Cage, Boo Boo Stewart. All the comments are career peak, national treasure.
For all three of them?
What?
All three of them.
So Nicolas Cage was in National Treasure. Who were the other two?
Sean Bean.
His career peak was National Treasure?
Yep, and Boo Boo Stewart, who I don't know.
She's so it's probably true for Boo Boo.
Boo Boo, that's probably accurate.
For Boo Boo.
Sean Bean.
So summer or winter? Well, Morgs, we've got a... Morgan has a PhD in Cage, so...
It's true.
We'll let you handle that one.
I mean, that's a tough one. I would say that he transcends this list. He's a man for all seasons, so... Let's put that there. And then Sean
Bean... Which one does he prefer?
I think if you're looking at...
He looks good in a loose Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah, Cage... Mm. Cage it from, like, say, 18 to 39, summer.
Yeah.
40 to present, real winter guy. Loves a beard, loves a big leather jacket.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's...
What you just said makes so much more sense than whatever this list is. and what you said is kind of nonsense.
Weirdly, yes.
The last three.
So Sean Bean.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We have winter.
Yeah,
he's winter, obviously.
And Boo Boo Stewart, a name like that, summer, right?
Mm.
All right, the last three. Matt McGorry, who played Asher in Hot Gorm.
Mm-hmm.
The comment for that is La Douche.
La Douche. Well,
that's probably the most...
Who did he play? Connor?
Asher.
Which one was Asher?
One of the five students.
He was the one that was not involved in the murder.
Yeah.
To be fair, he probably was the douchiest looking one, so not inaccurate what they've said. Doesn't really give... that's probably the most cryptic, whether or not it's summer or winter, though. So you do what you want with what I've just said there. I'm just saying LaDouche doesn't get to give me an indication whether it's winter or summer.
As opposed to all the others.
You tell me.
Who are our final ones?
David Tennant, Barty Crouch Jr. in capital letters.
Winter. So just the Harry Potter character, right? Straight character there.
That's straight character. And Harrison Ford, like a fine wine, gets better with age.
Yeah, is this an opinion or?
I mean, it's their sweet summer and winter children.
It is a list. You know? It has all the characteristics of a list. It is.
Is Ryan Reynolds Mexican?
Set of information.
Really, they're asking the big questions, aren't they?
I think that one's probably pretty answerable, though. Right? Simple Google input probably spit something out.
All right. Well, one opinion they did have is that Zac Efron's on here, and they say I'd rather Zefron than Chad Michael Murray. There's your hot take.
History's shown that to be the correct horse to back. I think. Not a lot of Chad Michael Murray action these days.
When is this list from?
This list is from 2016.
Okay. So, how many of the people on the list have a designated season?
No, like it's implicit in what I've told you guys.
Okay,
great.
I mean, in what's written on the screen, none.
Yeah, you're not going to do the work for us.
Beyond the screen, into this person's psyche, it's very obvious.
Yeah,
obvious.
Like the New York Times cryptic.
You're really possible. Fucking with us.
My sweet summer child.
Sometimes winter child.
Oh my.
That's got to be one of the most baffling lists.
It's a real
I think we're all
thinker.
Stupider for having
I have absolutely no question about that in my mind whatsoever. Alright, well, we'll start to sort of work our way to the end here. How to Get Away with a Murder. You guys going to watch any more of this?
No. I also don't think it. Like I really found out how
to get away with murder.
More so than I already knew.
Yeah, it was I found it very confronting and it was really in your face.
It's aggressively structured and cut and like there's a lot of sound and it's really, you know, it's all happening. I would watch I don't know if this counts, but I would watch a GIF of Annalise shaking Bonnie to death on steps.
But I think that's got good meme potential of like you could like title each thing and this shaking is so Bonnie like we'll put the text over Annalise, that'll be Morgan's face, and the shaking is the intro to this episode.
Yeah.
Morgan.
That's perfect. There we go. We just created a new meme.
Perfect. Great. Good, great.
Oh boy. Immortalized.
No, this I did not find this remotely appealing. I think you're right. It's the way it's cut and shot, and just I don't know. I thought no one spoke like that. At Jez, apparently they do. So I'm the asshole for that. For not really understanding that's how it all works, in at least law school for that matter, but. Yeah, way too melodramatic. Not enjoyable.
The last episode could be the most melodramatic thing I've ever seen.
It really is. I've never seen, like you said, you guys. I can't remember which one of you said it earlier, but I've never seen so many people just really going hard for an Emmy than I have in that. Like 80 seconds to
get
as many
your,
of these like intense.
Get your bit
intense
in.
80-second performance, you know, career defining performances as we can jam in. A lot of tears.
I wonder if Viola Davis was happy with the show in general, you know?
I think she was happy with how much she was getting paid to be on the show.
Definitely.
Well,
I mean, she held her own, you know? She did her job.
Oh, absolutely.
She got to hang out with poor man's Terry Crews. I was just quickly Googling to see if there was already a GIF of Bonnie getting shaken to death. Unfortunately not. But there's a GIF of the stupidly ripped detective that I'm going to send through to you guys.
Oh, perfect.
So I have to look forward to that.
I was going to say I didn't bring it up. I'd like to do some extra notes about like fun facts about the show. Really wasn't any production issues. It seemed like it was pretty smooth sailing. No casting what ifs. They got Viola Davis, and then they're like, sweet, and then it was all pretty. they bought the rights to the initial story off a company, and then some other, yeah, and then Grey's Anatomy writer was the one, he produced it all, and so it's all pretty cut and dry. It's the most like perfectly, from everything I can read, it seemed perfectly manufactured. They had no issues getting this off the ground. Super popular, everybody made money, and everyone walks away happy. Now, we can tell people they don't need to watch it, because if you watch the first and the last, you kind of just...
I mean, if you want to understand the last episode, you might have to watch it.
Yeah, well, I would recommend that. If you want to kind of hate it like we do...
If you like legible television, comprehensible storylines, maybe give it a go.
Yeah, but that's, as you've said, Jez, that's not our business. That's not what we do. That's not what we do here. Mm-hmm. All right, well, look, let's wrap things up. As always, jump on our socials, our TikTok. We're on TikTok now. TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. Shoot us a suggestion. Follow us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. Mm-hmm. Whatever podcasting platform you use.
Yeah.
We're not married.
None of them are paying. They're not paying us, so, you know.
We're not married to it. Just find one, follow, if you can. If you feel like you want to.
Torrent us if
torrent
you want.
Torrent it. Yeah, why not?
Maybe I'll get us up on the Pirate Bay.
There you go. Now you're thinking outside the box.
Interesting. Then we're one step closer to the porn parody of his podcast.
Ah, great.
it's what we all got in it for.
That's the dream right there. Cool. All right, well, let's leave things there, and we'll be back in a few weeks. All right, thank you, Jez.
Thank you.
Thank you, Abe.
Thank you.
And thank you, Scott.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Morgan.